Steve Earle with a real issue theme song. The revolution starts now. Welcome. September 7th, 1922, Earth, Chico, California. My name's Ray Longer, and I am filling in for Sue Hildebrand. Not really filling in, I'm just engineering the show for her. She's got some wonderful taped interviews for you, and we'll get right to it. The Real Issue is a public affairs talk show, and we're here every Wednesday night from 6 to 7. And The Real Issue is made possible, of course, by you, fabulous KZFR supporters, and by Square Deal Mattress Factory, building the best night's sleep since 1920. Square Deal is celebrating over 100 years of making mattresses, bedding, furniture, and now face masks with the fabric of your choice right here in Chico. Square Deal is located at 1354 Humboldt Avenue. Details at squaredealmattress.com. Alrighty. With the passing of Labor Day weekend, the election cycle is officially upon us. Sue sat down with two local candidates this week, both running for elected office in Chico. First, we'll hear from Monica McDaniel, who is running to represent Chico's District 3 on the Chico City Council. And then we'll hear Sue's interview with Chico Unified board member Tom Lando, who is running for re-election to represent Area 4 in the school district. Starting with the Chico City Council races, for the new council districts, which were adopted in 2020 election cycle, the district races are staggered. For example, during the last election, districts 1, 3, and 5 were on the ballot. This year, districts 2, 4, and 6 will hold elections. However, last year, the council member in District 3 resigned from council, and the council appointed her replacement. The rules state that the appointed council member must face the voters during the next election cycle. That means District 3 will have an election to choose its council member. One of the council members running for that seat is Monica McDaniel. Monica is the chair of the Chico Arts Commission, a career technical educator, and a Chico State graduate. She's been involved in for-profit and non-profit arts community for years. Sue spoke with Monica earlier this week, and let's get right to that interview.
The Real Issue, Tom Lando.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
All right. Jumped the gun there a little bit. I thought I was going pretty good there for a while. Looks like this thing's on auto feed. All right. Beautiful.
Welcome to The Real Issue, Monica McDaniel.
Thanks, Sue. I'm so glad to be here. I really appreciate you taking the time to include me in your show.
So let's start with the most obvious question that I ask every candidate, especially every first-time candidate. Why would you run for a seat on the Chico City Council?
You know, it seems crazy, doesn't it? I want to run for a seat on the City Council because I have experience. I have been serving on with the city on one of the boards and commissions for the past 13 years. When I first got into that, it was because of my passion for what that commission was working on. I've learned during this time that I'm an effective problem solver. I was asked to be chair of this commission. I'm serving my third term as chair. I'm a problem solver, and I enjoy that. The thing is, I enjoy people, and everybody's got their opinions, their worldviews, and I really enjoy the process of bringing people together, of listening to people, of helping to solve the issues. My kids are older now. My kids were literally in diapers when I first joined this commission, and they're about to graduate high school now. So I just really feel like the time is right for me to step into this bigger stage and to help the city, especially with the things that I've seen going wrong the last few years. And I really want to make this community a better place.
Monica, you said many times that you're a problem solver. What are, as you see it, what are some of the most pressing issues that are facing the city of Chico today? And then as a problem solver, how would you approach those kinds of issues?
So, you know, I see is a big problem that the economy is sluggish, both nationally and locally. I see that that there are people still living in the parks. I see that there are living conditions that are not good for citizens. We need to focus on affordable housing. It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem when local citizens can't afford to buy a house or even rent a house that supports that supports who they are and what they have available. There's a huge problem that the people who are living in the parks, that they need mental health services. They don't just need housing services. They need services to help them get by in society. And the city needs to take a stand in supporting them, not just trying to arrest the problem away or kick them out of wherever they've sought refuge. You know, they need to help these people so that they don't seek living in places that we don't want them to. And so there needs to be a longer term solution. These people have no place to go. And so there are a variety of agencies that have been working on that, not just the Pallet Shelter, but agencies like CHAT and Everhart Village. There are a variety of agencies that are not working in collaboration with one another. So the city and the current council has been playing whack-a-mole with these human beings, and that needs to stop. There needs to be workable solutions that are going to be long-term so that they don't just end up in places that we don't want them to be. So affordable housing is a huge problem, even for people who have homes. People want to own their homes. It's the American dream. And it's the Chico way to take care of one another. So we need to get back to that.
Monica, the first thing that you mentioned in terms of the problems, the most pressing issues that you see facing Chico, and you said the economy is sluggish. I mean, that's huge. So how do you turn something as giant as the economy into something that you can see yourself doing on the Chico City Council?
So, you know, I don't have any secrets, and I certainly am not going to complete this by myself, but I do have insights about economic stimulation and how the economy in Chico can be stimulated. You know, one thing that I have done on the commission I've been sitting on was to, we conducted a survey with a national organization that helped prove that $17 million a year were being brought in through nonprofit organizations. That's not something to shake a finger at. That's not something that we can ignore. We need to stimulate our local economy. We need to keep our money local. We need to get goods and services locally, and we need to keep the money in Chico so that we can thrive. We also need to capitalize on people who come here for tourism. Economic tourism is something that people kind of act as like, oh, well, that's fun. But, you know, I saw several plates from out of state this weekend. I interfaced with people who were from out of town. People come to Chico because we're the cultural hub of the region, and people are already doing it. We need to figure out a way to harvest that energy, to harvest that's already happening to support our local economy. And, you know, it's not about, there's a tax measure on the ballot. That's something that can be considered, but it's not something we're going to be able to squeeze out of local citizens who are already strapped as it is. We want to be able to use what's coming into Chico anyway to the benefit of the Chicoans.
So let's go to the next one. You laid out a lot of problems as you see Chico is currently wrestling with the economy. You mentioned the parks. And you mentioned, I mean, this has been an issue since even before the pandemic, but you know, what we've said on this program a lot is in response to the campfire, we saw an increase of homelessness. But even before the campfire, 1 month before the campfire, the city council declared a shelter crisis, right? Said to the state, we need help here. And so it's only gotten worse and worse and worse. As a result, we are seeing people living in the parks. And that has been an incredibly divisive issue. And the current council has tried one tactic or another. What are the ways that you see getting, number one, getting people out of the parks? And also, what are the ways that we actually start truly addressing the fundamental causes of homelessness in our community?
So one aspect of the shelter crisis that the current council has been ignoring actively is the support from state and county agencies that they could be getting that they are refusing. I'm not sure why they're refusing that. Maybe they have a good reason, but it seems foolhardy to me that they're not seeking help from outside of Chico to help deal with the shelter crisis. I have already been in contact with people that are involved in housing at the county level, and they've told me that there's a lot of resources available that are being underutilized and under recognized by current council. And that's a big change. We need to stop trying to do it all on our own. And to this is not just a citywide, not just a countywide, this is a statewide problem. And there are more resources available that are being seriously ignored. And I'm very interested in collaborating with the larger agencies to help us at the city level. That's really important to me.
And then, you know, and one of the fundamental causes of homelessness is people not having a home. And again, to sort of piggyback on the shelter crisis and then the loss of so many homes with the campfire, we are seeing this spike in housing costs. So we have a real lack of affordable housing. How do we deal with that from your perspective?
You know, so during my tenure on one of the city's boards and commissions, I've served under probably four different councils. I've seen councilors come and go, and I've seen this problem be an issue that's a recurring issue for Chico. And I remember, gosh, years ago, the idea of infill and utilizing spaces that we've already got rather than necessarily building new housing tracts and things like that. And so I think there needs to be more of that. There needs to be zoning changes. There needs to be policy changes that are currently prohibitive for utilizing already existing spaces, whether it's a shelter that gets created there in a building that is already vacant, or whether, you know, a parking lot or whatever gets used to be built on to create these new opportunities. You know, so I think there's a lot of solutions that are already within our midst that can be capitalized versus going past the green line or going past, you know, the footprint that Chico's already got. I think there's a lot of underutilized opportunities to help alleviate the housing crisis that aren't being addressed.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. I have Monica McDaniel here with me tonight. She is running for a seat on the Chico City Council to represent District 3. Monica, you mentioned the Green Line and the preservation of the Green Line. I'm wondering, although Valley's Edge proposed development project is on the east side, and there's technically not a Green Line on the east side of Chico, and it wouldn't be in your district, I'm wondering if you want to share your position on the proposed Valley's Edge development.
So, you know, I talked about bringing economic stimulus from bringing people from outside of Chico. And Valley's Edge would certainly do that. The problem with Valley's Edge is that the homes that will be created there are cost prohibitive for most Chicoans. And so, you know, maybe a few people who already live here could afford a home there, but it's a closed community. We can't walk or bike or enjoy any of that space. It would be very exclusive. It doesn't align with Chicoans' values because it's an exclusive space. Plus, then it puts a strain on city's infrastructure. It's believed that it would be a fire risk because it's right at the area of fire mitigation in our city where we held off the campfire. So, I mean, I just see it problematic in a variety of ways. So I'm not in support of it because it doesn't really align with any of the things that we need to do to alleviate the housing crisis that we already have.
So, Monica McDaniel, you have mentioned, we've been talking about the issues that you see, the most important issues that you see as facing Chico. You have served for, I think you said, 13 years on the Chico Arts Commission. So you do have experience in the city government. How do you see that experience serving on a commission translating into being effective on the city council?
So, I mentioned that I've served under a variety of councils and I've seen the governmental process. When I first joined the commission, I felt like a bug on a tree. You know, the tree has already been existing for, you know, however many years, and I'm just a bug that's trying to figure out how to get a leaf to eat. And so the governmental process takes a long time. It's very slow. It's not immediate. And so having now been on the tree for 13 years, I've learned that it takes collaboration. It takes talking to people. It takes any issue that's brought before you, you have to do your research, you have to do your homework, you have to look into where this solution is coming from. You have to collaborate. The current council, the biggest problem that I see happening there is that the current council is not working in collaboration with its boards and commissions. There's been a disconnect, not just in my commission and the Art Commission, but in the Airport Commission, the Planning Commission, the Park and Playground Commission. We're seeing limbs falling. I saw five limbs falling down around the city today. And people think, oh, well, why doesn't the city council come and get this limb? That's not how it works. Democracy is meant to be where there's advisory boards and commissions that then help the council to come up with viable solutions. The boards and commissions do the groundwork and recommend ideas to the council. Now, the council can accept or disprove or do something different, but the current council has been behaving unilaterally to try to solve things, and it keeps coming up with lawsuits, with missteps, with solutions that aren't workable and that aren't bringing anything home. Part of why that's happened is that all the department heads have gotten fired. So I'm very interested in balancing the budget, bringing back department heads that can help those boards and commissions to then advise the council. And I can tell you that when I'm on council, I will be very interested in who my airport commissioner is, who my park and playground commissioner is, who my art commissioner is, the people who are the citizens who are working together to help support and advise council, and so that council doesn't behave unilaterally anymore. I can't say that's going to happen with other councilors, but it will definitely happen for me. And I think that's the only way we're going to get things done, is it's a community coming together to come up with a variety of solutions that can then be workable for our citizens.
Monica McDaniel, your response really leads me right into my next question. So this is perfect. So similar to our national politics, and, you know, I would argue in response to the tenor of our national politics, our local political discourse is quite nasty at the moment, and it has been for some time. It did get worse in the last, you know, let's say 6 years or so. It's not nice. It discourages people from actually getting involved. I hear people a lot, mostly young folks, that say, I don't like politics because people just yell at each other. And as you mentioned, democracy requires that we participate and communicate and so on. How do you see yourself in it to get elected? You will be in the middle of you'll be in the eye of the storm, essentially. How do you see yourself working in that kind of an environment where not only do people disagree with you, but people can be downright nasty?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm a highly collaborative person. I don't take things personally when people don't see things my way. My father was an attorney. I guess we always had these kind of conversations. We didn't see eye to eye, but we would always have this kind of discourse. It was just sort of how I was raised. And so, you know, talking to people and hearing them out and listening is the big first step for that. And then figuring out where the compromise can be. You know, it doesn't have to be all one way or another. And I'm not afraid to talk to people who have differing opinions than I do. And I'm not afraid to reconsider positions that I already have. Like I gave the analogy of the bug on the tree. A lot of this stuff has been in play since before I got here. So I'm not under the belief that my fresh new ideas are going to come up with anything different. But what sets me apart from other counselors is that I'm not afraid to listen to new ideas and come up with a median that is workable for all sides.
Monica McDaniel, thank you. I really appreciate your time. In the last, 30 seconds or so, is there anything else that I forgot to ask you about that you want to share with listeners?
The only thing I would add is that I've used my collaborative process to get things done on the Arts Commission. For instance, all of the funding was cut from the commission. All community organization funding was cut. I was able to broker an opportunity for conservative counselors to come together with Democratic counselors to come up with a plan for a 1% art ordinance. It's not as much money as this used to be allocated from the TOT or the RDA, but there is still funding with this percent ordinance, and it was a good start. We were, through my collaborative skills, we were also able to create a fund for maintenance for standalone art projects. And with my volunteerism, we were able to do an economic impact study about for Chico that measured specifically arts and culture organizations. So, you know, I've seen results of my work. They've been slow in the coming, but they eventually happen. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of patience to make things happen. And I'm willing to do that for my community.
Monica McDaniel, candidate for the Chico City Council to represent Chico's old district number 3. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sue, for giving me an opportunity to share my platform on your show. I love KZFR, community radios for the people.
All righty. That was Monica McDaniel, candidate for Chico City Council to represent District 3. You can find out more about Monica at her website, McDaniel for City Council, MCDANIEL, McDaniel for City Council 2022.com. And if you go to the City of Chico website, you can get information on the different districts and where you live. Redistricting did happen earlier this year, and it changed a lot of things. So you might want to take a look and see what's going on. Alrighty, as a reminder, all candidates are welcome to appear on this program to talk directly to the listeners. And if a candidate cannot find their invitation from Sue, they can contact Sue directly at sue@kzfr.org. Once again, if you're a candidate and you'd like to be on KZFR on The Real Issue, sue@kzfr.org. All righty, we're going to take a little musical break, and we'll be back with our next interview right here on The Real Issue. And if you're just tuning in, my name's Ray Longer. I am engineering the program for Sue today with her interviews. back here on The Real Issue. My name's Ray. I am engineering for Sue Hildebrand today. Thank you for tuning in to Community Radio, 90.1 KZFR worldwide, of course, at kzfr.org. And we'd like to get ready here for our next interview. We now turn to Chico Unified School District. This election will be the first one with the newly drawn districts within the larger Chico School District. Last March, the school board adopted a map with five districts or areas that will be represented by one school board member. Tom Landau is a current school board member and is running for his second term, four-year term. Tom is running to represent Area 4. Tom is a teacher, parent, school board administrator, and a member of the Chico Unified School Board.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
So you're running for your second term as a school board member. You were first elected in 2018, which was, I think, about a lifetime ago.
Right.
Why are you running again?
Well, when I ran in 2018, I had this great idea that it would just be about the disconnect between charter schools and district schools and making sure we were being really prudent with public money. And of course, 3 days after the election results came in, the campfire. And since then, our schools have seen such a huge amount of change in so short a time that I really want to see that process through and make sure that we come out the other side of all this change in a way that is really good for students, for teachers, and for our community.
As you mentioned, you were the election results in 2018, you found out that you won a seat on the school board, and only a few days later did the campfire break out. It seems like many elected officials in 2018 were suddenly thrust into this this whirlwind, essentially. It sounds like you got more than you had actually bargained for. So talk about some of the biggest problems that maybe you thought you were getting into versus what are the biggest problems that you are now facing as a member of the Chico Unified School District?
You're absolutely right. No one expected the last 4 years to be the interesting time that they've been. Like I said, I ran because I have always, for the last several years, I've been working for public charter schools. And there was a lot of tension between the public charters and the district schools. And I'm happy to say that in many ways that's been resolved or not as much of an issue as it used to be, which is really great. But the issues that face us now are so much bigger and thornier and more complex in a lot of ways. I mean, clearly right now we're looking at how do we integrate all the new ways of doing school? I mean, Zoom school and independent study. Chico Unified has added so many new programs, new ways for students to access education. And what does that look like? How do we make sure those students are getting educated in a way that is excellent and that is equitable compared to students who are in class? We've implemented new schedules at both the high schools. How do we make sure that those are meeting the goals we set and doing the best they can for the students? And the pandemic has introduced us to such a vitriolic time in schools and in the school board, where suddenly the school board finds itself really, really politicized. And instead of being a really deliberative body that is focused on what is best for students all the time, we've at times become kind of a circus sideshow. And how do we stop that and get back to our real job, which is serving all students all the time?
Tom Landau, talk about that. When I asked you, you know, what are the biggest problems facing the Chico Unified School District, you mentioned that you know, I like the expression providing excellent and equitable services, because in this crazy time of online learning and changing in schedules and so on. But then you really turn to the politicization and not the deliberative behaviors of being a school board member. So it seems like that might be the problem right there in your face. As the role, if I'm understanding this correctly, as your role as a sitting member on the school board, how do you address that? How do you see yourself and the rest of the board working with those parents? How do you see yourselves moving forward?
Well, one is to keep our eyes on the actual, what should be the goals for the school board. I mean, right now we're really going to start looking at our facilities master plan as we update some of our very old schools. We're going to have to probably start asking the public about a potential bond. And these are things that traditionally parents and the community have been very supportive of, because they recognize the importance of having really great school facilities. So one of the most important things we can do is bring back the goals that we all have and we all share. If there's one thing that our community has traditionally agreed on, it's that public schools are important, and that no matter what, we need them to be as best they possibly can. The other is that we all need to kind of take a step back, check our egos, and make sure that we are working as a body. The school board is so interesting because even though it's an elected position, in many ways, it's five people acting as one, right? A decision made by the board is made by the board, not by just any one or even any three members. We recently discussed doing some trainings for the board on how to be basically a better deliberative body. And I think recognizing that we can do better at that is really important as well. And in terms of reaching out to the community, we need to be really sure that we are actually hearing and listening to and addressing the real fears and concerns of some parents. There are parents who were really upset by the pandemic and by the effect the pandemic had on the school, and not dismissing those parents, but making sure we're addressing what it is they're actually worried about. They can, you know, have a seat at the table and feel like they're part of the process of making schools better.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFR Radio. I have Tom Lando on the phone with me. He is running for his second term on the Chico Unified School Board. This time he is running to represent Area 4. And just as a reminder, this will be the first election that the Chico Unified School District will be represented through areas. And there are five areas that will be representing the entire district. So Tom Lando is running to represent Area 4. Tom, I want to just, you know, go back to some of the comments that you've made, you know, the reality on the ground, along with this rise of politicization and fear, and this vitriolic language in many of the school boards. Talk about that from where you sit, this rise in energy and how the work of the board has changed.
Absolutely. Well, I think that what's important to remember is that public schools and public education are really, really key to a just and democratic society. And that's something that I said a lot during my first campaign. Everyone needs to be engaged. We need students to come out of public schools being ready to work with people who don't agree with them and to understand their place in the world. And there has always been a relatively small political faction who have pushed for privatization of schools, who have worked to find ways to profit from public schools, and who have attacked schools by attacking teachers' unions, by attacking them simply because they are a government service. But they're a government service that works and that people in general are very supportive of. And the pandemic brought some very real fears to the fore, right? There were these huge issues about childcare and safety, and equity, and can we provide online learning in a way that is anywhere nearly as good as we did in the classroom? And while the school board and the teachers and the administrators were struggling to address that, those relatively small fringe factions used that opportunity to harness the fear, again, the very real fear of these parents that they were missing out or their kids were missing out, as a way to drive a wedge between a section of the community and their schools.
Tom Lando, I want to jump in because what you're saying sort of leads me to a question that I wanted to ask you about. So, as you mentioned, school boards across the country have been, you didn't use these words, but here's my question. School boards across the country have been the front lines of very nasty politics that grew out of the pandemic, or at least that's when it became really aggressive. So in a Time Magazine opinion piece published in April of this year, it's called "Extremists Are Using Lies to Undermine America's Public Schools. We Need to Take a Stand." The writer discusses this tumultuous time, and I want to read the beginning of the article and get your reaction. So the article says, just as extremists have used the big lie about the 2020 presidential election to undermine American democracy, far-right advocates of privatizing public education are using big lies to undermine public schools. Supporters of public schools must see these ugly attacks for what they are and take a stand against them. And then the article talks about the tactics being encouraged at schools across the country. And I'm quoting again from the article. First, they concoct lies, smears, and distortions that stoke fear and anger, such as that 8-year-old students are being taught to hate themselves because they are responsible for slavery and that kindergarten teachers are grooming 5-year-olds. Next, these falsehoods are spread on social media and by Fox News and the click-driven, controversy-obsessed mainstream media. Finally, extremist state politicians champion cookie-cutter bills provided by the same national voucher backers to, quote, solve the manufactured, quote, outrage, often under the banner of, quote, parents' rights. Tom Lando, do you see in our little community of Chico, do you see this kind of effort and the tactics that are being described and encouraged here? Do you see that happening in the Chico Unified School District?
I do, at least the beginnings of it, and it's really concerning, honestly. Like you said, across the country, we've seen some just what would have been unthinkable 4 years ago, tactics in school boards. We've seen several cases in which teachers have been fired over fighting against book bannings. We've seen the use of the idea of critical race theory being used as a wedge between citizens and teachers. We've seen the idea that trans students are somehow dangerous to their peers, again, to stoke these fears and these concerns that somehow our schools are unsafe or are damaging for kids. And it's simply not true. Schools are still among the safest places in America for students to be. So in Chico Unified itself, we have seen a lot of really, really angry parents at school board meetings, and they have a right to be angry. And that's why that phrase parents' rights is so concerning, because of course parents have rights. Parents have every kind of right to make sure that their kids, their students, their children are healthy and safe. And we've never denied or tried to abridge that. Chico Unified has a huge variety of educational programs from which parents can choose, and a huge amount of access to teachers and administrators to make sure that their kids are doing well. But again, parents' rights in this particular very narrow case seems to be a euphemism for we schools aren't following a very specific right-wing orthodoxy. We've seen a huge rise in incivility in board meetings, which is interesting because I know many of the other board members have always seen our roles as being voices for the community. And we listen to everyone we can. We reach out to our constituents to bring their concerns to the administrators and to the schools. And we've seen people who have basically been coached on how to be angry. I mean, this is the first time I think I've ever seen, you know, people outside of schools telling me that they know where I live in a threatening way. And it's just terrifying, not because it's physically, it's scary, but because that people can get that angry. And I mean, it's really, some of it's been really shocking. And frankly, it's been expressed in this election as well, in that when we switched to trustee areas, simply because of the geography of Chico, we ended up with all five of our sitting members in only two of our trustee areas. And one member who has 2 years left on their term still chose to run for a different seat, specifically not because it was going to be better for kids, but as a stated goal that they've said in public meetings, simply to oust as many incumbents as possible in a bid to change the ideological makeup of the board, which is just stunning that anyone would choose to put politics and their own political gain and an ideology ahead of having a board that is focused on what's good for the kids and the school system. It's frankly is making the school board into a adversarial rather than a deliberative body.
And based on that Time magazine article, this is exactly what you're talking about with your opponent, who is a sitting member on the school board, choosing to challenge you 2 years early so that he can help oust all the sitting incumbents and change the ideology of the school board. That's exactly what this Time magazine article is talking about, right? And warning. So, Tom Lando, as a member of the board, how do you counter this sort of attempt to, as the article and what you have suggested earlier, this attempt to sow distrust and even delegitimize the effectiveness, the good schools that we do have here in Chico, in that movement to start privatizing public education?
In a couple of different ways. The first is to make sure that the facts of the matter are out there. I mean, I've seen the Facebook, which is always an echo chamber, but the political side of Facebook, I've already heard that people saying that my opponent has actually already had 4 years on the school board and was elected in 2018, which is simply not true, and it's verifiably not true, but it's gaining traction to make it seem like. So you see these really simple little lies or even misunderstandings, and it's very politely pointing out, hey, that's not where we're at, so let's make sure we all agree on what the facts are. And the other is to not get caught up in it. I am a professional educator. This is my ninth year as a teacher and my second year as school administrator. I run an intervention program in an online school, not a Chico Unified program. And I think that helps for me maybe more than some people in other school boards around the country, because I see every day what's going on in schools still. And it's really easy for me to say, hey, is the work we're doing here really pushing for student success and setting our students up long-term for being good citizens? So what we need to do is not get sucked into any kind of us versus them mentality, but instead always be sure, hey, the conversation we're having right now, it sounds like some people are really upset, but rather than just being upset, let's take that energy and what can we do about that to affect change in our schools if it's needed, or understand why it isn't if it's not. Is what we're doing good for kids? Unfortunately, a lot of the time that politicization is not good for students. In fact, it's actively harmful. We see during the debate over masking the pandemic, parents coming into schools, interrupting schools, basically setting their kids up against other students. And there's it's such a bad example for students to see this kind of disruptive, divisive political behavior.
It's interesting because much earlier in this conversation, you brought up the idea of democracy. And what we learn in school really sets us up to be good citizens in a democratic society. And that basic core skill is being able to listen to, and even if we disagree, to be able to continue a conversation about what is good for our school, what is good for our town, what is good for our country. That is democracy. And so in some pretty basic ways, it sounds like the school board is being is under threat for this new ideology to take over that does not teach those basic skills of how do we listen, how do we negotiate, how do we work together. That, I think, is really going to be on the ballot in November in terms of what are we going to teach our children. And it's not just math or, you know, how to share, but how do we become citizens in a functioning democracy? And so I really, the fact that you're sort of looking at it from this perspective is, I think, pretty important in the conversation about what do we want our schools to look like. And so, Tom Lando, in the last minute or so that I have with you, what did I forget to ask you that you really want to get out? And how can listeners and voters in particular find out more about you and your campaign?
Well, the one thing I really want to get out is, as we're trying to depoliticize the school board, we need to do the same thing in these campaigns. I really don't want to see our school board campaigns turn into some nasty us versus them. Everybody who's engaged in this wants our schools to be better. We need to move forward, find a way to bring our community back together as a whole, focused on providing the best possible education and opportunities for our students. And I'm really hopeful that we can do that. I think that after these elections, no matter the outcome, we'll have a lot of parents who are really excited about improving schools. And as long as we can bring them to the table in a constructive way, it's going to be a really exciting time for keeping unified. As for how that people can find out more about me and my campaign, I have a Facebook page, of course, everyone does these days, Lando number 4 CUSD, if you search that on Facebook, or you can go to my website, which is www.betterchicoschools.com. And I would love to hear from any and all of your listeners.
Tom Lando, Chico Unified School Board member and candidate in this upcoming election to represent the newly formed districts of Chico Unified. He seeks to represent Area 4, which is a very crazy shape. It includes South Chico, Central Chico, a bit of East Chico. And so I encourage folks to look at the districts, see if you're in the districts, and if you need to connect with Tom Lando. I know from reading your website and from reading your Facebook page that you encourage people to reach out and ask questions. Is that right?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your time.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Down to the bone, and the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell. The cook in the lunchroom's ready to sell. You're lucky if you can find a seat. You're fortunate if you have time to eat. Back in the classroom, open your books. Gee, but the teacher don't know how mean she looks. Rolls around, you finally lay your burden down. Close up your books, get out of your seat. Down the halls and into the street. Up to the corner and round the bend. Right to the juke joint you go in. Drop the coin right into the slot. You gotta hear something that's really hot. With the one you love, you're making romance. From head to toe, round and round and round you go.
coin right into the slot. You gotta hear something that's really hot. With the one you love, you're making romance. All day long you've been wanting to dance. Feeling the music from head to toe. Round and round and round you go. Hail, hail, rock and roll. Deliver me from the days of old. The drums loud and bold. Rock, rock, rock and roll. Feeling is there, body and soul.
Oh, yeah. It's always a good time to listen to a little Chuck Berry, a little School Days. Thank you, Tom Lando, for doing that interview with Sue. And also Monica McDaniel. Very nice. Again, Tom is running for Area 4. Chico Unified School District for the Chico School Board. And Monica is running for Chico City Council in District 3. So more information, go to the city website and find out. Look these things up. You'll go to the Chico Unified School District. There's been a lot of movement of the lines, both every 10 years, if you're not familiar, every 10 years we do a census, and out of that census comes redistricting around the country. Very fun time. The courts are very busy during these times, and the lines have been redrawn in the state, as in the county, as well as in our city and our school board. So check it out and make sure you know what you're doing and where you're at, and get involved. That's really what it's all about. You got to get involved. Alrighty. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. My name's Ray Lager, engineering for Sue Hildebrand. He's kind enough to do these wonderful interviews for you guys and bring them to you. Let's see, we got coming up next.
Hi, my name is Kevin Cook, and I host Writing on Air. If you are interested in sharing your writing in a relaxed, non-critical space, then please consider submitting to my show. I welcome writing of all formats and writers of any experience level. To submit to my show, please refer to the following email, write.onair@gmail.com. That is WRITE.onair@gmail.com. My show is the picture frame, and your writing is the picture. Writing on Air airs every 2 weeks, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If this sounds like it's up your alley, then I look forward to having you on my show. Happy writing.
All righty. Writing on Air coming up next. Again, thank you for tuning in. We got a few minutes, so in the spirit of Sue, let's rock out, because I know she appreciates that. All right, Sue, thanks for giving me the opportunity. I had fun. Okay, everybody, see you next time here on The Mighty Zephyr.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next is Right on Air, which is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Mount Shasta Springwater Company, serving the community for over two decades with natural spring water bottled at the base of Mount Shasta. Mount Shasta Springwater is available for home and office delivery at 1-800-922-6227. Tonight, we have a part two, and let's see, did I get the right microphone?
Hello.
Oh, I didn't get the right microphone. Let's try this again. Hop over to the one next to it. I'll try two. Can I hear you now? Check, check, check.
Check.
I think it's coming through. I can kind of hear you. Let's hope the listeners can hear you. Can I get one more check from you?
Check.